Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever else comes to our minds. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I am here on this lovely weekend day with my co-host, Austin.
Big Ben. Country. England. City. London. I am dog sitting / house sitting again, and I'm in a room filled with Legos everywhere. There's just Legos all over the place, and I looked up, and there's Legos. A box for the Big Ben Lego set, and that's what it says.
How many pieces are in the Big Ben
Let's
Lego
find out.
Set? Oh my god.
Look at this thing.
So there, it's not put together
no,
even.
Box.
Is there Lego pieces in it, or is it just an empty box?
There's Lego pieces in it. Oh, actually, I don't think these are Legos. It's some sort of knockoff.
Oh, that's not Lego. You can tell.
How can you tell?
Because it doesn't have that Lego look. You can always
tell
you can. A Lego.
I'm not very knowledgeable when it comes to Lego.
It's like all the Lego wannabes, like Duplo and stuff. I don't know what that
is. Wange, W-A-N-G-E, maybe Vange.
Wange? Never heard of it.
Here it is. 1,640 pieces.
I don't know. How
suitable for ages 6 and up.
How is that, like, compare? Like, what level of difficulty is 1,600 pieces?
I don't know. They must have gotten these from fucking Teemo or some shit, because there's Chinese characters on this one. Magic blocks.
I didn't realize your friends were into, like, Lego-adjacent stuff.
They're into all sorts of crazy-ass shit. They're Disney adults.
Which is where they are now.
Actually, they're not at the moment, but...
But they will be.
But they will be.
I am still baffled, just baffled. Like, my thing is always... And you know what? I'm gonna offend, and I don't care. You go to Disney World, like, once, and, like, you're good for, like, 20 years. Like, yep. I don't understand. This is me personally. Obviously, you can do what you want in your own life. What makes you happy. Spend your money how you want. I, myself, cannot understand or fathom it, but that's okay. I'm not meant to, I guess.
I'm not judgmental about it. Like, we're on a fucking Pokemon podcast. We are very much of the conceit of retaining your childlike wonder into your adult years, I would say. Right?
Maybe that's it. Maybe I am being too judgmental.
Okay, but here's the thing. I think from a logistics standpoint, going to Disney World or land multiple times a year just seems fiscally irresponsible to me. I don't understand. I think Disneyland is like a local institution. So, like, the most people who go who are locals and they get a discount. So maybe that's the reasoning.
Yeah, but if it's, like, 20 minutes away from your house, then it's, like, it's no more interesting to you than, like, what's something local? Like, a grocery store. I mean, it's just there. You know what I mean? Like...
Well, our local theme park sucks.
Well, yeah, it does suck. I don't know. It just... Maybe that's just our failing, Austin. We don't have the money, so we don't go.
I mean, I know stuff like Disney World is like huge, so you can probably see something different every time you go if you know what you're doing.
Sure.
I don't like big crowded areas with
lots and it's
of
hot.
Disease
like being
and strangers.
Disease and strangers.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I've understood, like, it just seems like it gets busier and busier, like, every passing year. So it's like, I couldn't stand there and wait in line for a ride for, like, 2 hours. Like, I just couldn't do it.
I don't know. It's not a world for me. That being said, does Universal California have the Mario exhibit open? I think it does.
See, but that's a novelty thing. Like, I feel like if you're going to go to a themed theme park, like Harry Potter World or Mario or Pokemon. Like, it's a one-time... Like, you go for the novelty of it just to be like, oh my god, okay, I've never been here. Like, I just want to see what it's about. Like, obviously, we have to go to the Pokemon theme park or whatever.
They're taking forever to make that. Hurry up.
I know. But do you want them to hurry up and have it, like, half-assed when you go? I would want them to have everything ready. I don't want to go and, like, miss out.
Okay, Super Nintendo World is open in Universal Hollywood, it says.
When did it open?
I don't know. It's coming to Florida.
If it's not ready, I don't want to go. I made that mistake when Harry Potter World first opened at Universal. Me and my family went. This was a decade plus ago.
Sorry, the Florida one's opening in 2025, it says.
Okay, so we have to go in like 2027 or something.
Well, we're going to go in 2027, and then 2028, they're going to announce they're making Pokemon Stadium theme park or something.
Oh, good. I'll be there too. All I'm saying is you don't want to go when it first opens because, like I said, Harry Potter World was like that. We went when it first opened, and they didn't have half of the stuff ready yet. So how it is now is completely different than how it was.
Right. Well, they made a second portion of it.
Exactly.
And now they're making the third. Did you hear about that?
No. What's the new part?
Fantastic Beasts is getting its own theme park.
Ew.
Can you believe that?
No, I can't. Fantastic Beasts, I'm sorry, is... You know what? I'm not sorry.
Who wants to go to Fantastic Beasts?
It was a bad movie franchise. It was a bad movie. It was a
horrible franchise.
We talked about this. We have talked about this before, about the failings of Fantastic Beasts. Like, we're movie screenwriters, but anyway.
Well, that's the thing, is J.K. Rowling, in addition to being a fucking monster person, is clearly not any good at writing a screenplay.
Exactly.
Because she wrote those movies.
Well, we discussed that. We thought that it would have been better off if it was just like a wacky, like, buddy comedy when they're like off to solve a mystery of the day kind of thing with involving a magical beast. Not whatever Dumbledore bullshit that was going on in that movie.
It should have been a Pokemon movie, is what really it is. It should have been like Newt Scamander has to stop the dragon from burning down Shanghai or something.
Sure.
And then the next movie is Newt Scamander has to stop... I don't know. What's another magical beast? Loch Ness Monster.
Sure.
It's in peril.
Or he has to investigate, like, cryptid sightings of, like, some crazy magical creature.
Or there's, like, some sort of, like, illegal monster trade happening that he has to investigate. Or something.
Yeah.
The possibilities are endless.
Sure. Sure. But we didn't get that. We got, who was Johnny Depp's character? I can't even remember.
Oh, they recast him.
No, but his character. What was the character?
I can't remember. His boyfriend.
I can't remember the character's name.
I could not tell you.
I've kind of fallen off on Harry Potter. Like, I don't know. I know I'm offending, like,
at this point, lore. Like, you have to ethically fall off of it.
It's just not my... I mean, Harry Potter was, like, once upon a time, like, the big thing. I mean, I just haven't kept up with it in all the years, like... Harry Potter's such an extensive world. I mean, I can't keep up with it.
And why would you want to? It's so shit.
Right now, I picked up Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, really?
I hope to finish that, actually, this time.
I didn't know you were into that.
Oh, yes, I was.
You should get the Lego Horizon.
No.
Why does that exist?
I don't know why that exists. It's a very strange decision to me. The last time I picked up the game, though, the last save I had was from March of last year. So I was like, oh, shit.
Okay, I got an update on Universal Epic Universe.
Ooh, what's Universal Epic Universe?
It's the third Universal Studios park.
Right.
Okay, so it'll have How to Train Your Dragon, Fantastic Beasts, Universal Classic Monsters, so like Dracula and Frankenstein.
That's interesting.
And Nintendo.
That's a weird... This is all in one park?
Yeah. Like Islands of Adventure has Marvel, Jurassic Park... King Kong.
Yeah, but that makes sense. Like,
does it?
Islands of Adventure and its adventure-y things.
This says there's a central hub world called Celestial Park, and from there you go to the different areas.
I will always be bitter about Poseidon's Fury. That was at Islands of Adventure. Like, if you guys ever remember.
I don't think I ever got to go on that because there's always lightning storms in Florida.
Oh my god. I went on Poseidon's Fury one time, and it was like the best fucking thing in the world. Oh my god, I'm so upset I didn't appreciate it more back then.
Ooh, I like this. Industry insiders have suggested that Phase 2 of the park's expansion will begin as soon as it opens in 2025, with possible attractions from Nintendo World revolving around Luigi's Mansion.
Okay, I would go to that.
Ooh, that sounds good. Where's Pokemon Coliseum, though?
Is that their competitor with Disney's Haunted Mansion? Sounds like it.
I guess.
I can't say I understand theme parks, but I would go for, like... one time for the novelty of it.
Okay, anyway, okay, wait.
What's been going on in your world, Austin?
Nothing. I've been sitting here with dogs looking at Legos.
Austin's house sitting. Very nice of him to do that. We just finished a 30-minute conversation about Thomas the Tank Engine that you can check out in our pre-recording if you subscribe to our Patreon. So go do that because I know how much you all want to listen to us ramble on about Thomas. Anything else, Austin, going on?
No.
No? All right. Fair enough.
When I'm house-sitting, I very much cut off from the world. I'm, like, in my own space.
You just, like, shut yourself away until you're done house-sitting. Any other announcements or anything that you want to mention? Okay. What did I do this week?
You played Horizon Zero Dawn.
I did. I've been obsessively... You know how I do. I do something obsessively for, like, a week, and then I forget about it. But this time, I hope not to do that. I really do want to finish it. Although, I am upset because I can't particularly... play the second game to its entirety. I think they do have Forbidden West on PlayStation 4, which is the sequel, but you can't play the DLC. You would need a PlayStation 5 for that. So I'm a little bit kind of upset about that because I don't have any plans to get a PlayStation 5. So I'm like, I guess I'm not going to be able to finish this saga.
Did you hear apparently the PlayStation 5's life cycle is already halfway done?
That's bullshit. It barely started. No, I don't believe that shit. It's barely started, in my opinion. Do they already have the PS5 Slim out? Or
I think they do.
Pro or whatever the fuck they're calling it. I don't know. I can't keep up. This whole generation of consoles has completely, like, it's a mystery to me.
Switch 2 is coming next year.
And I will not be buying it because my Switch...
Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
Well,
yes,
when it... Okay, when Pokemon inevitably gets...
Which it will.
So is ZA going to be Switch 2 exclusive?
No, it's going to be Switch.
Okay.
Pokemon games always linger on the previous console for a bit longer than you might think.
Well, as long as it doesn't have the horrible, like, visual issues that...
it will, I'm sure.
Scarlet and Violet had. Well, yeah. I don't know. They blame the Switch's, like, graphical fidelity, but I think it's more of an optimization problem. But I don't know enough about video game design to be sure. Should we... I guess we should just jump into Pokemon. I don't really have a good transition.
Let's not keep price waiting.
The price is right. Come on down!
Okay. Were you disappointed like I was when they made a Price is Right reference in the episode? And I was damn, I thought it was so clever.
It was a kind of a roundabout reference to it, I wouldn't say. I am really disappointed in myself, though, because we both misremembered Sheila's, that's why they call him Icy Price. That did not happen. Okay.
Moving on.
Ah! This week, we have the two Price episodes. We have Cold as Price and Nice Price Baby. Do, 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 do. So what is our order this week? Who's doing what?
Okay, I'm going to officially make an announcement, actually.
Ooh, an official announcement.
I'm no longer doing the randomizer. I have given up on that task. I am clearly incompetent, and I can never remember that that's my responsibility. Alex, that's now your job.
You're springing this on me in real time.
Yes, I am. I'm no longer responsible for that.
All right. I guess give me a second, folks.
I'm delegating it.
I gotta go do the thing, I guess. Let's see. I can't even... Why is it auto-correcting my name to Alicia? Stop that.
All right, Alicia. What does it say?
All right. So I am doing the 30 seconds for this episode, and you are doing the summary.
Okay, great.
And it'll flop next time. Cold as Price. Okay, 30 seconds. 30 seconds for me.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Ash and friends arrive at Mahogany Gym, and Ash screams outside of the gates to be let in. But Sheila, the lady, comes up and says, Price isn't here. So they go to the mountain where he's training, and Price is being a big wiener, and he's like, Pokemon aren't friends, they're food. And so Ash and him get into a battle, and they, like, fall into a... No, is that the next episode? No, they do fall into a cliff. I'm confused. Fell on a cliff, but Ash teaches Price the value of friendship, and they reunite with Piloswine, Price's old Pokemon. Oh my god, okay.
Alright, so that was fucking terrible.
It was fucking terrible.
So, today, in Mahogany Town, we are indeed at a gym, and an elder lesbian comes by, and her name is Sheila. And Sheila is Price's good friend. They got MLM, WLW thing going on, friendship.
What is that? What did you just say?
Men who love men and women who love women.
Oh, okay.
I'm teaching you something.
You did teach me something.
The gym leader's not here. He is busy meditating under a waterfall because, lest we forget, we're in Japan. So the twerps and Sheila and Team Rocket in hiding all go out to find the meditating gym leader. Sheila is like Superwoman and she can like jump 40 feet in the air, forward.
She can just, like, rip through time and space and, like warp into different areas.
She has a portal gun.
Yeah.
I never liked that game. I tried to play it. It was too complicated.
Portal?
Yeah.
The only thing I know about Portal is GLaDOS, like, the evil robot, and something about the cake being a lie.
I think everyone knows that.
That's all I know. Ooh, and aren't there, like, space core? There's, like, cores and stuff, and, like, space core.
You know more than I do, then.
I don't know. That was a long time ago.
Okay, so we all take the portal gun, and we find Price, who is the angry old man from the previous episode, who is in his, like, little board shorts meditating under a waterfall.
Who's also voiced by Gary.
Who's also voiced by Gary. We hope you're doing well, Carter Cathcart.
Yeah.
Price is furious because Ash loves love, and he is good friends with all his Pokemon. And how dare he have his Pikachu out on his shoulder like that, you silly boy.
Somebody's jealous.
Someone needs to be jaded like Price.
That's what happens.
That's why they call him Icy Price.
Which doesn't happen.
Okay, we'll get to it.
Well, obviously, the real world has jaded Price. And so, you know, Ash is still like a whimsical kid who hasn't been hardened by the realities of life. So,
nor will he ever, because he will never age.
That's true. He'll never understand what it is to be human.
Price decides to assault Ash with his dugong. Because now what we're going to do is we're going to have a battle. If Ash wins this battle, they can have a battle.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can we just fucking, this is ridiculous. Ash is like, battle me, old man, for the rights to a gym badge. And he's like, well, Ash, I'm not going to battle you unless you beat me in battle, which would ultimately prove that you could beat me in battle, which would render this whole middleman battle, like, completely moot. So if he beats him there, wouldn't he just be able to earn a gym badge there? Because that means he would be able to beat him.
I would have called Secret Agent Joy, because she's a gym inspector, and tell her that this man is refusing gym requests.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, that's a good point that you make. Are gym leaders allowed to refuse gym requests, or do they have to accept any request?
Erica accepted a request when she didn't want to.
Do we subscribe to the belief that gym leaders scale their Pokemon based on, like, the readiness and level of the trainer they're facing? Like, because if you, like, lived in Mahogany Town and that was, like, your first gym battle, like, he wouldn't probably have, like, dugong.
Well, we did see later he had, like, a whole, like, garden area of little Swinubs and Shelders.
Shelders, yeah. So maybe he uses, like, the weaker Pokemon for weaker people, so. But Ash, I mean, I guess he did say, like, this is my 7th badge, Ash did.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he did say that.
So maybe Price was like, okay, well, obviously you're not a rookie.
Go all out.
But shouldn't he then be able to, like, he has to accept any challenge? Like, I don't know. He's just being a jerk.
Price is just a dick.
He is.
He's a big dick, even though his real dick is all shriveled up from that cold waterfall bath. And Ash is an idiot because he sent out his newborn Phanpy against Dewgong.
He says Phanpy's been doing well, so he's obviously been having some off-screen time.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe that for a second. Phanpy loses in one hit because duh.
Yeah, well, duh.
So Price randomly storms out into the woods, and Ash is in close pursuit. And then it gets kind of complicated, because I think Ash and Pikachu get separated briefly, but then they don't. Team Rocket pops out of the bushes after they get separated, but they don't.
Filler, filler, filler.
Yeah, Team Rocket trips, and they're out for now. But then they come right back, because Ash finds Price, and then Team Rocket shows up, and then Ash, Pikachu, and Price fall off a mountain because the ground spontaneously gives beneath them and they fall into a big cavern.
I mean, to be fair, they were standing on the edge.
True.
Of the mountain, and there was a lot of activity happening.
Meanwhile, Brock, Misty, and Sheila have finally caught up. They find Team Rocket. Meowth has kind of a funny line, and they figure out what went down. So Sheila's like, we're going to take that shallow gully over there to go down. Which later we see there is no shallow gully. She literally ties a rope to a tree and, like, jumps down the cavern.
That's how anybody normally would get down there, Austin. Like,
well, she's a superwoman, so she can do it. I don't know how Misty and Brock follow her.
Yeah, we don't see them rope jumping off of the cliff. We just see them at the bottom somehow.
Speaking of impossible strength, Noctowl grabs onto Price and flies him from not dying.
How big is a Noctowl? Actually, no, forget I asked.
Ash has a little Noctowl, specifically.
Price is a little guy. Price is, like, as tall as Ash, you know, so he's, like, a wizened old man. He doesn't probably weigh very much.
Well, Ash slows his descent by having Totodile blast water onto the ground.
You know what it reminded me of? Super Mario Sunshine with Flood, when you, like, jetpack around with the water.
Oh, I need to replay Super Mario Sunshine. It's been a long time. 22 years.
Oh, I can't believe that game is that old. Please stop making me feel old.
Ash has dislodged a rock that opens up a cave. And Price and Ash go to explore it for some reason.
Don't you know the rules, Austin? Anytime you're in a video game or in a show or something, if you fall into a ravine, you have to go through the cave to get out.
The cave that leads to a dead end, by the way.
Yes. Duh.
They find a horseshoe, but it's not actually a horseshoe. It's like an ankle bracelet.
What the fuck was this?
Weird.
I thought, for some reason, I thought this was, like, a Pokemon held item that was, like, in the games. Like, some kind of brace that did something, but it's just an accessory, fashion accessory.
It's a plot device is what it is.
Sure.
Because that's the ankle bracelet that belonged to Piloswine, Price's old Piloswine from when he was a young man. And now we get the tragic backstory of Icy Price, which I know you're bursting to talk about.
I'm just really disappointed because I had one of those Luke, I am your father moments, like misremembering it. It's something that didn't happen. I know we've talked about this.
On the podcast
where Sheila, we misattributed the line and said Sheila says, and that's why they call him Icy Price. But that didn't happen because she actually just says, let me find it. She says, now everyone calls him Icy Price. And I was so disappointed, Austin.
I'm sorry that we made the line better.
We did make the line better. And I was really upset because I was like waiting for that moment that I was waiting for this whole time. And it disappointed me.
Well, the reason Price is so icy is because he was in some sort of championship and he was really doing well at his Piloswine. And then a Magmar attacked Piloswine and young Price stupidly jumped into the field to shield his Piloswine from the fire blast.
You know what? I headcanoned that because this was like a flashback to like 30 years ago and Price was visibly a young man. And he was going up against a faceless trainer. And by faceless, I mean, you only see like the bottom half of his mouth and like down.
A surfer dude guy.
He had a surfer dude guy voice. But I headcanon that this was like Damien's grandpa or something because it just seemed like it would fit.
Then why is he not Australian?
Well, maybe grandpa like married somebody who wasn't Australian.
Can I just say Damien's another example of a Luke, I am your father moment between us?
God damn it.
I left that Charmander right there on that rock.
Is that not what he says?
That's not what he says.
God damn it. What does he say again?
I can't remember.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter because in my heart of hearts, that's what he says. Just like Sheila in my heart of hearts says, and that's why, and like in a mysterious tone and not like the normal way she said it. She says, and that's why they call him Icy Price, even though that's not really what happened. So just let me have this.
No. So young Price was stupidly injured by a Magmar and had to be, I guess he had, like, third-degree burns all over his body. Him and his Piloswine, who also has bandages all over him.
Did they, like, take him to a hospital? Because we only just see him, like, recovering in, like, a hut in the wilderness.
They apparently took him to Mahogany Town and just, like, left him alone in a hut. I don't know where Sheila was.
Yeah, they left him, like, nobody was caring for him. Like, he just was, like, in agonizing, burning pain. And, like, they just left him there.
Yep.
Okay.
And in the middle of the night, Piloswine got up, walked away, and never returned.
In the middle of a blizzard, no less.
In the middle of a blizzard, no less.
And then Price becomes jaded and bitter and angry because he thinks his beloved Piloswine abandoned him after he risked his life and limb to, I don't know, save it, even though it didn't really need saving.
It would have been fine.
It would have been fine.
And that's why they call him Icy Price.
That is why they call him Icy Price.
Surprise, surprise, though. Piloswine is alive!
Okay, now this is some bullshittery. I can't believe this.
I had fun with this on my notes.
Good.
I write, Ash and Price go into the cave after all this backstory shit, and they find the frozen corpse of Piloswine. And it's holding on to some burn healing herbs that it found.
Sure.
And Ash hypothesizes that it also fell into the ravine and somehow got stuck here and died.
God damn it.
So Price is like in tears. Ash is in tears because they found a dead Pokemon. And at that point, Ash is like, you know what? This is my show. Piloswine is not dead. And he... How do they dislodge that thing? I forget.
He calls out Cyndaquil. He's right. Like...
Cyndaquil melts it out.
Well, Price is like traumatized. Like, he's absolutely shocked because all he's ever known this entire time is the abandonment and the resentment of his Pokemon leaving him after he risked his body and his life. And he's been living with this, like, rotten hate for 30 years. And then all of a sudden he comes across like the frozen corpse of his beloved partner, and Ash is like, step aside, I'm gonna free it and shock it back to life. And Price is like, no, you're just,
don't, you're, desecrate the body.
I know, you're like trying to like breathe life back into like a dead frozen corpse, which would be traumatizing, wouldn't it? Like, imagine in real life
you find a corpse
of like your beloved pet or even a loved one. Like, a human. And they've frozen in a snowbank for like 30 years. Somehow isn't mummified like at all. But whatever. Then some stupid kid comes along and they're like, wait, I can like, you know.
Breathe. Breathe, damn you.
Yeah, like do CPR and like, you know, do the shock paddles and go clear and like shock them back to life. I would be absolutely beside myself with trauma. Like, don't even try to bring the corpse back. You're just adding insult to injury.
Well, that's exactly what Ash does. Oh, he melts out the corpse and he goes all Victor Frankenstein on it. And he tries to reanimate the dead and it doesn't work after several shocks.
Okay, this is what this reminds me of. I don't know if you're familiar. The term galvanized, right?
Sure.
It's tied to a man named Luigi Galvani.
Luigi Galvani?
Luigi Galvani. Okay, so the term galvanizing means to shock or excite someone into taking action or coat iron or steel with a protective layer of zinc. So basically this man, Luigi Galvani, back in the 1700s, this is where the term comes from, he discovered in 1780 that a frog's leg muscles would twitch upon entering contact with two dissimilar metals, iron and copper. This led to other experiments that would further the scientific world's understanding of electric currents. So basically what would happen is he would take a corpse and like shock it to make the muscles twitch and claim that the corpse was like coming back to life.
I mean, I could see how someone could conclude that, you know?
because the muscle, you're dead, but then you're moving. So it's like, you know.
That's what happens to the rest of these two episodes, is this pilot spine actually is dead and it's secretly being piloted by Pikachu's electricity the whole time. And as soon as the twerps leave Mahogany Town, it, like, falls to pieces.
Ew, so it's like a necromancy situation where he just animates it for a short time. Could you imagine the trauma Price would go through if his fucking pile of swine, like, collapsed?
As long as we get a gym badge.
That is all he cares about.
Okay, so.
Anyway.
What happens now? Okay, pile of swine is dead, and then it's not dead. It's just fine. It's okay. It's all right.
Sure.
Apparently, when you're an ice ground type pig, you can just be frozen for 30 years. Like Steve Rogers style.
This is horrible. This is traumatic.
So Piloswine took the super soldier serum with the Vita Rays, and he is fine. So they all walk out of the cave to find Sheila, and Sheila's like, what in the actual hell is going on? There's like a dead pig there.
A frozen corpse.
And Price is like, can you believe?
She can't believe it. She really can't believe it.
Oh, I forgot one little detail. At one point, Piloswine uses rest to heal its HP.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you know, that's what it needs, is more rest.
It just needs to sleep again after it's been sleeping. Isn't that what they say not to do, is fall asleep when you're ice cold? What if that had truly killed Piloswine?
That was the final straw.
What if he was alive, just barely? Ash thaws him out with Cyndaquil and then shocks him back to life with Pikachu. And then Price is like, oh my fucking god, you're alive. Now rest. And then it really truly died.
It was like, yes, I will rest. It's like, forever. Like dying people wait until the person gets closure and then they die.
It was hanging on just for Price. That's fucked up.
Well, don't they say like, you get, like, a burst of energy when you're dying, like, to say your goodbyes
or whatever? I think so, yeah. And then you finally see that one person or hold their hand one last time or something and then pass away.
Anyway.
God.
So the reanimated corpse of Piloswine is attacked by Team Rocket and they blast off. And now the episode's over and Icy Price's heart grew 3 sizes that day. And Ash performed a miracle.
This was a traumatic episode. Full of some bullshit, but I think the bullshit continues because I had some strong feelings about the next one, too.
Okay, great. Well, you're covering that one.
Oh, God. Well, so glad for Price. Now his ice-cold heart is warm again. Yeah. What did you think of that episode, Austin? How was your feelings on it?
I think that should have been on the fucking news. I know. That's a crazy story.
Nobody cares. Like, nobody cares.
Some scientific research is due for this one. This is not normal.
Who would do the research? Who would be trusted to do good research regarding this? Because I feel like Elm isn't it.
No, Elm is not it. Elm is busy with his boyfriend in the ocean.
Oh, Captain, what is his name?
Marcius.
Marius.
Marcus.
Marius. Marius. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oak is laying pipe. Well, Tracy takes care of everything.
Oh, God.
And Professor Ivy's high as a goddamn kite. So there's really no one who could be of any use.
Who was that one anthropologist guy that was in Legend of Thunder that that rode in with no consequence.
Kudo.
Maybe we need him.
Is that what he wants? I don't know what. He was so useless.
He's an anthropologist, I'm pretty sure.
I think Eucene should show up and be like, Ho-Oh has revived this pile of swine.
There was some magic bullshit going on, because I really can't take this on face value, but... Anyway, Icy Price is icy no longer.
And that's why they call him Warm-Hearted Tender Price.
Could you imagine... Oh my god, you know what else reminded me? So, you know in The Sims, technically... I never gotten to this point, because I've never had somebody, like, age up to an elder and then die of old age. But apparently there's a mechanic in The Sims... Okay, so they die of old age, right? Then the Grim Reaper comes. And then you can plead with the Grim Reaper to spare your loved one and give you more time with them. Like, bring you back to life. So if it's successful, Grim, revives the old person. And then they immediately die again.
Oh, that's funny.
After doing, like, one interaction. Because it's like, they're living on borrowed time. So I was thinking, what if Pile of Swine just, like, died again immediately?
That's what I think is going to happen. I think we didn't get to see that scene.
After its battle in the next episode, that's all it had left in it.
All right, that's a crazy-ass battle. Let's do that for our MVP LV in quote.
All right. Oh, God, I'm doing the randomizer. Damn it. All right.
Yes, you are.
All right, I'm doing it first, and then you. All right, my MVP is going to be... I feel like there was really no winners in this episode.
Really?
Okay, you know what? I'm going to start with LVP, and that's going to be Ash.
Oh.
Ash is the loser, the least valuable, because not only does he send out Thamfy to fight a losing battle, he also gets Price and them into this pickle, and then traumatizes Price further by reanimating the corpse of his dead friend.
God, it reminded me of Scary Movie 3.
What happened in Scary Movie 3?
They had an open casket funeral for Brenda.
I'm not sure who Brenda is, but sure.
Brenda's the one who dies in every Scary Movie movie.
Scary Movie movie?
Yeah. And then Anna Faris says, it's awake. And so, what's his name? It's the guy from Black-ish, Anthony Anderson.
Oh, okay.
He says, she's awake? Oh my god! And so he, like, gets Regina Hall / Brenda's corpse out of a coffin and is, like, carrying her around.
Ew!
For the rest of the movie.
Like a Weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Because he thinks she's alive.
Yeah, so Ash gets LVP. My MVP is going to be fucking Pile of Swine, man, for just trying its damn best and then getting frozen for 30 years and somehow magically having the fortitude to survive that whole ordeal. My quote, when Team Rocket is trying to steal Pikachu after they get lost in the woods, Price walks up and says, hold it! What kind of total idiots would forcibly steal another's Pokemon? James says, well, how many kinds are there? Jesse says, back off. Mind your own business. Meow says, besides, we're the smart kind of idiots.
That was so awkward. It was so pushed in there.
That was. The
flaps. Ugh.
But it's all I have.
Not a great one. All right. My MVP is going to be Cyndaquil and Pikachu for reviving the dead.
Wow.
That was pretty impressive.
Ash could, like, change the entire course of the world by, like, bringing loved ones back to life after they've passed on.
Let's go find Amber.
I know.
Who else has died?
Dr. Fuji. I mean, that whole trauma could have been avoided.
Yeah, where's Amber Fuji at?
Who else has died?
I don't think anyone's died yet.
Has anybody not died? Okay, we had the Ninetales episode, but that guy's been dead for 200 years, so.
Well, this Pile of Swine was dead for 30 years, so who knows?
Maybe 30's the cutoff.
Maybe if they continued to explore that cave system, they would have found Brock the First frozen. Maybe that's what happened to him.
He did fall off a cliff, remember?
Yeah, in your hand cannon, yeah.
Damn.
My LVP is going to be, gosh, Price for being an unethical gym leader.
For being icy.
Going around, yeah, for being icy. And for screaming at children that they shouldn't love their Pokemon.
He's a deeply Pokemon troubled man. Pokemon need to be
subservient and obedient.
Yeah, he's a deeply troubled man, Austin.
Okay, well, there's a lot of deeply troubled men who vote for a lot of deeply troubled men in this country.
Oh, wow, okay.
And we all have to suffer for it.
It says young people's fault.
He specifically says Pokemon always need to be tense and on edge.
Always need to be tense and on edge.
Yeah, fuck Icy Price.
Icy Price isn't as, like, kooky and wacky as I remember him being.
No, he's just scary.
He is scary.
Jesse, my quote, Jesse says, the real miracle here is we haven't captured Pikachu yet. James says, so get ready for another. Meow finishes, miracle on ice. Nice little real world reference there.
That was great.
I think the Disney movie Miracle would have just come out this time.
What was it? This is what, 2002?
It's around there.
Around there. All right. Well, that's it. That's great. Now we are on to Nice Price Baby. Do, 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 do. And took one of the best naming conventions
out there. Pressure. Pushing down on me. Pushing down.
Okay. pushing down on Pilot Swan because he was under 1,000 tons of ice.
Under pressure.
All right, so that means that you do the 30 seconds for this one, Austin.
Okay.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
It's Ash versus Tenderhearted Price. And first we have Cyndaquil versus Dewgong, which is stupid. But Ash does some like blasting stars and Dewgong stays and beats it somehow. Then it's Pikachu versus Piloswine, and good lord, does this go on for an eternity of Thundershock doing nothing, Thundershock doing nothing, Thundershock doing nothing, until Price eventually says, I'm bored of this, here's the bad, now get the fuck out, revive some other dead Pokemon while you're at it. Bye.
Time. My God, my God. This episode, you guys, this is some bullshit. It was
draining.
You are not ready for the level of bullshittery that happens in this episode, and I didn't remember this at all.
I did not remember this either. I remember the dead Piloswine. That was it.
I remembered that, and I misremembered the line from Sheila, which was immensely disappointing. But anything after was like a fog. So this, maybe it was such bullshit, I wrote it out of my mind. Because you're not prepared. This is a gym battle episode, so just buckle up. So Ash, this is the next day. They're rested and prepared for the battle with Price, because the other battle that they had didn't count, of course. Misty questions him on his strategy that he's going to employ in battling Price, because he's an ice-type Pokemon user, but it's not just ice-types. It's also, you know, we've seen Dewgong, it's a water-type, could cause some problems, and we've seen Piloswine, which is a ground-type, could cause some problems. But Ash is very bold and declares that he has it all figured out, and he's going to use Cyndaquil as his ace. But Misty reminds him that Piloswine and Dewgong are really strong, and I had to look this up because I can never remember, like, type matchups and effectiveness. So, obviously, Dewgong is ice-water, which would be resistant to fire. But apparently, Piloswine is ice-ground, but is 2 times weak to fire. I thought the ground would have canceled it out to just be, like, normal, but apparently not.
I'm pissed at Ash's choices he makes today.
He is. Yeah, he makes bad choices. And I have apparently been really bad at how type matchups work, so I'm sorry about that. Meanwhile, Price is having a tender touching moment with Piloswine. He's like brushing it and preparing it for the battle. This pissed me off, to be honest, like Sheila's whole attitude, because I think this makes perfect sense and I'm not really sure like what the intended interaction here was supposed to be. He says, can I just quote this, because I think it doesn't make sense without like saying what he says. So Price says, it's taken all that's happened to show me, just as that block of ice kept my Piloswine in hibernation all those years, that my passion has been kept in hibernation as well. Which makes perfect sense. I don't see where the confusion in that sentence lies. But Sheila is like a freaking moron, and she's like, okay, Price, I'll just leave you and your theories out here with Piloswine. Price says, I'm trying to convey my oneness with Piloswine, because it's this like soulmate Pokemon. And Sheila says, hello, would you mind translating that gobbledygook for us little old common folk? And then Price is like, I don't know, I heard it on some daytime talk show.
Not very good dialogue, I'm sorry.
Was that like a weird, like they were, I don't understand.
Were they like referencing like an Oprah type thing? Like what was going on?
You know, not that Pokemon is like an anime with like really touching, tender, deep moments. But I just kind of got a little bit perturbed that they ruined a small tender moment. Like, I don't think this is hard to interpret. Like, obviously he was reunited with his very best friend and she goes and ruins it.
It's that weird postmodernism 90s early 2000s cynicism that was really prevalent at the time, you know what I mean?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess you're right. It had to be, because I was like, it's not that hard to have empathy and realize where he's coming from. Like, this is a normal human emotion to have, and she's like, can you, like, explain yourself for us, like, dummies? I think his, like, end of the thing he says at the end where he heard it on a daytime talk show, I'm just gonna pretend that he's, like, said that to, like, brush it off because she was being rude to him. Like, oh, okay, forget that I was, like, being
This is a toxic tender. Friendship.
Yeah, it is toxic. I was, like, in this moment, this solidified Sheila as my LVP. If I get it first, that's what I'm gonna say. Spoiler alert. Weird interactions aside, Team Rocket is back. They're spying on Price and plotting to steal Pikachu and Price's Pokemon. Meanwhile, Ash and Price get started with their battle. Sheila surprises us all by announcing that she's the official judge for this battle, because Brock was like, wait a second, you can't start the battle without a judge. I guess he was going to jump up there and do it if Sheila didn't butt in. And it's a gym battle, so of course we got the rules. It's a 2v2, or 2 Pokemon each, and then Ash is allowed to substitute, but Price is not. So I'm going to do my best to summarize the battle part, which, guys, this is what I meant when I said at the beginning, this is some bullshit and you're not ready for it. Give me your initial thought in, like, one word, Austin, like, what you thought about this battle.
In one word?
Just one word. Initial feeling. Like, what's your thought on the battle?
Can I have two words?
Two words, then.
Tight matchups.
Tight matchups, right? Part of the bullshit. Price starts with Dewgong, and Ash responds with Cyndaquil, which is a terrible, terrible choice. Why did he not lead with Pikachu? I have no fucking idea. I guess he wanted, like, ace against ace or something.
Would Piloswine be an ace? I feel like Piloswine needs to be under medical care.
I mean, of course it needs medical care.
It needs to not be in a gym battle right now.
It spent the last 30 years in, like, a deep freeze, and then the next day, Price is forcing it into a gym battle. Actually, you know what? He might get LVP. I don't know. We'll see. Stay tuned. So, this choice is laughable, obviously. And, of course, you think to yourself, well, clearly, this isn't going to go well for Cyndaquil. Some major bullshit happens where Cyndaquil pulls off impossible moves. It manages to break itself free of being frozen after an ice beam with its back flame. And then it avoids an Aurora Beam after being frozen. And then Ash has it dive into the water where Dewgong is king because it's an aquatic Pokemon. It's not as fast or agile in the water at all. But this is all part of Ash's strategy to draw it in close so that he can use a close range quick attack. A close range swift.
Speed Star,
that's right. Which is apparently powerful enough to knock Dewgong completely out of the water. And then flamethrowers it, which knocks it out. I didn't buy that at all.
I didn't think it was too bullshit.
Having Cyndaquil in the water was pretty bad.
I mean, that was not a very good strategy. I guess the entire idea was the element of surprise.
Well, it wasn't, like, boosted or anything. I mean, no. Cyndaquil is not an agile Pokemon in the water. I'm just really surprised that Dewgong wasn't able to, like, overpower it in that environment. Like,
it should have been Pikachu could have zapped that thing in a second.
It was in the water. Like, Pikachu could have electrified the entire pool.
Which is an Ash favorite move.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I think it was backwards. Cyndaquil shouldn't have been first, but again...
No, that was a bad call.
Ace to ace is the only thing I can think of is why they did that. So after that whole completely contrived first round, Price sends out Piloswine. But before we get into that, so Team Rocket's back to their wily ways, and they're planning on their new business venture that they're going to start after they steal all of Price's pricey Pokemon, and they're going to open up the Team Rocket Frozen Snack Shack, which is a beachside venue that sells Pokemon ice cream. And they're going to make it into a global chain and become star members of Team Rocket because they'll make so much money they can pay back all their debt.
They're doing a good job keeping this, like, debt subplot going.
I wonder how long that's going to go on for.
To the end of Johto.
Are they going to lose the plot?
They kind of do. We'll get through there.
Okay. I would go to Team Rocket's Frozen Snack Shack. I was kind of excited.
You were excited to go to CNWood?
Yeah, they were going to start their first little shack in CNWood, and then they were going to pop up all over the world, and it was going to be great.
We can go there and find Chuck and his wife, and she's fat shaming him.
Yeah, imagine the fat shame that would happen if he went to the Team Rocket Frozen Snack Shack. Chuck's wife, LVP. Yeah, so sadly their plan's ruined. They don't get to see it through because they get all bum-rushed by all the ice types, and we don't see them, but we hear their screams, and it cuts to black, so presumably they have been killed. So back to the battle, Piloswine easily smashes Cyndaquil into a pulp after it uses a combination Blizzard and then Takedown because Blizzard freezes the pool in the middle of the ring and then he's able to run over the ice and then Takedown. And Cyndaquil is then KO'd. Pikachu is up next and Ash's whole strategy here is to outspeed Piloswine because Pikachu is, that's his claim to fame. But it doesn't go so well because Pikachu starts slipping and sliding all over the icy terrain. And this, Austin mentioned this earlier, but this is a very long and drawn out sequence here.
Well, I will say, Ash has Pikachu use the ice to his advantage by adapting to it and sliding around and using, like, the ice columns as ballast to move.
That was good.
That's classic Ash.
I will say, yeah, he does get a plus one because Ash does his Ash thing where he uses the battlefield and the environment to his advantage. So that was really great. Pikachu starts to use its electric attacks with some success, which confused the hell out of me because Piloswine's a ground type.
It kept on seeming like it hurt it.
Yes.
And then the tourists would be like, oh, but Piloswine's not actually hurt. I'm like, well, no shit.
Well, it was confusing at the first, like you said, because there was a few scenes where it looked like it was really taking damage from Thundershock, but then there was other scenes where it wasn't affected and it seemed like it was useless. So I'm not really sure. It was confusing.
It was very confusing. It seemed like at first they intended Pikachu to shock it and then they like changed their mind. So it's doing zero damage every single time. And its only other offensive attack is Quick Attack. So this isn't going to work.
No. So, yeah, it seems like the right, like one writing group took it from the beginning and they were like, oh, yeah, Thundershock hurts it. But then the second writing team picked up and they're like, wait a minute. Electric attacks, it would be immune to that.
And it kept going back and forth like 20 times.
Yeah, it was very long and drawn out. After this first initial, like, it's hurt. But then Misty and Brock realized, like, no, wait, it's not hurt. Pikachu's Thunderbolt breaks the ice in the middle and reveals the water of the pool that's underneath. Piloswine then falls in, which soaks it, and then Pikachu shocks it, which this seems like it hurts it.
I thought this was going to be it. I thought that was the end.
But that's still, I don't know if I agree with that, because even though it was wet, I feel like it's still a ground type, which would nullify.
Onyx sprinklers.
I don't know. This is some anime world logic instead of the games. And we have to operate under that assumption. So yeah, I thought this was going to be it. Like, okay, fine. They pinpointed its one weakness and got it all soaking wet. And now it's the Thundershock's going to work. But it doesn't. Instead, I can't remember exactly what Piloswine does, but it attacks back, right? And
Fury Attack.
Oh, that's right. Fury Attack. And really mortally wounds Pikachu. I mean, it's down to like one hit point. Barely hanging on.
Pikachu toughed it out so you wouldn't feel sad.
That Pokemon of me. And so this is where it gets completely in this, like, absurd. I can't believe this. Piloswine is fine. And Misty and Brock even comment on the fact that Piloswine is fine. Basically, Price has it in the bag. Like, he's gonna win. But then all of a sudden, in a twist that no one sees coming, he throws in the white towel and calls for a technical knockout. And essentially hands Ash the win. And everybody's like, what the fuck? Why would you do this?
And Price was like, you performed a miracle bringing Piloswine back to life. You get a badge.
Yeah, basically, I don't know. I guess Price felt guilty that he was going to win. Is there like,
did you
like
hear
a
that?
War of the Worlds thing going on over there? Like,
there's like a Mad Max battle happening outside.
Is there like aliens coming? Like, what the hell was that?
Oh my god, you can still hear it. It's like a mile away and you can still hear it.
What the fuck? That was
check
weird.
Check your muffler.
All right, back to your regularly scheduled programming. Even Ash is flabbergasted and he's like, he tries to even exclaim. He's like, I didn't win this. Are you sure about this? And Price is like, the true mark of a trainer is to know when to quit. And I'm like, dude, you were
Ash
winning.
Ash didn't know when to quit. Pikachu was out. Like, if anything, Ash should have been punished for this.
I thought the white towel for like a split second was Price calling it because Ash was being horrible and not letting Pikachu rest when it should have rested. I thought he was going to call for Ash to be disqualified.
Right.
But instead, they reversed it and they were like, Price was the one who knew when to quit because Piloswine was done. And I'm like, Piloswine looks fine to me. Piloswine could keep going for another 30 years.
Piloswine has, like, penetrated Pikachu's skin with its little tusk, like, 100 times at this point.
I know. If Pokemon had blood in it, I mean, Pikachu would be, like, bleeding all over the place. I was pissed, honestly. Like, I think this is one of the worst displays of a gym battle that we've ever seen.
It's the worst in Johto, I'll say that much.
It's pretty bad. It was so... It was Brock and the sprinklers all over again, but even that wasn't as bad, because at least he took out Onyx. I don't know. It's my least favorite battle for sure, so far, gym-wise.
It was a weird decision, I'll say that.
It was a decision made of, we don't want to make this gym arc 3 episodes, so we're going to call it here.
Yeah, we got to save the Claire arc to be 5 episodes.
I can't remember the Claire arc at all, but I really hope Ash gets humbled in it.
He does.
Good. He deserves it.
Okay, anyway.
Anyway, so Ash... Finally, I mean, he decides, okay, well, I'm not going to argue. If you want to give me the badge, fuck, I'll take it. So he's like, great, got my Glacier badge. 7 badges, 1 to go. So they're on to Blackthorn City for now.
And we never see Price ever again.
And I see Price and Piloswine go off together and die in the ice.
Yeah, like Piloswine's like body starts to fall apart, like Rei Ayanami.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe Price did see it happening. Maybe Piloswine's body...
Oh my god, that was really... Was... Like its back leg had fallen off. Like...
It's disintegrating.
Like segments of its skin are peeling.
Ew.
He's like, ugh.
He's like, yeah, maybe it's time to stop, Piloswine. You're literally disintegrating before my eyes. But Team Rocket they didn't die before when they got attacked. Instead, they end up in a giant block of ice, and it's going to take them 5 days to thaw out because...
It's going to take them 30 years to thaw out.
30 years to thaw out, yeah.
Did they say 30 years? Did we make that up?
I made it up because...
Okay.
I was basing it off of Price having, like, he was visibly young with brown hair, and now he's an old guy with white hair. So I'm like, okay, that if he was, like, 30 or something, you know, he'd be 60 now. At least 30 years, right? Maybe 40. I don't know. I said 30 because 30 is a good, strong number.
MVP, LVP, in quote.
All right, who's first? I'm sorry, I clicked away from the randomizer.
Oh, it's not as easy as it seems, is it?
You're first. It was 50-50 either way. There's only two of us.
MVP, I will give it to Misty for telling Ash that going with Cyndaquil as his only strategy was a bad idea, and it was.
It was a terrible idea.
LVP is Price for putting his decaying pile of swine in a battle instead of, like, intensive care.
Can I just add... Giving the fucking badge away like that? So that horrible. That so too. Horrible.
My quote. Okay, this is my quote, even though it's kind of weird. Meow says, so that old man is a gym leader? And Jesse says, that makes sense. Something was telling me that Price wasn't right.
Oh, that was the Price is Right reference.
I mean, I guess her logic is gym leaders are contrary to her personal morality, and so a gym leader is not quite right.
Can you read that again? Hold on.
Okay.
Just read the quote again.
So that old man is a gym leader. That makes sense. Something was telling me that Price wasn't right.
So there's something inherently off about all gym leaders.
Is what seems to be the dialogue.
I mean, of course, we just know it to be that they just wanted to do a Price is Right reference.
Yeah, they could have done a better job. I think we should stick with the Price is Right for our episode title regardless.
Okay, so your LVP was Price and your MVP was Misty, right? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, God. All right. My LVP is going to be James for one thing.
Interesting.
For one thing he says at the end.
Okay.
Because I was like, a little misogynistic there, James. The quote. Okay, so the quote is, well, Jesse, I've always thought this before now, but now the whole world can see you're an ice queen. Because they're in
a... She's not an ice queen at all.
Block of ice. I know.
It's just not true. She's not.
No, she's not.
She's a diva. That's what she is.
I guess they really wanted to go with the ice queen joke because, haha, they're frozen in ice. But it's like, damn, that was a little bit of a misogynistic thing. And I wasn't expecting that from James, of all people.
It was very Batman and Robin, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze, where they had a list of ice puns.
That they had to them use. Out. Yeah. So James gets the LVP for that one. Because he could have just kept his mouth shut.
And it's not even true.
No, it's not even true. And they're supposed to be, like, best friends for life. And I can't believe he would drag her like that.
Because, you know, you and I, we never told each other.
Never.
Ever.
Never.
How are those bonus episodes going, by the way?
Anyway. So, my MVP is... God, there was no MVPs. You know, I was going to give my LVP to Sheila, too. Can she just get honorary LVP? Because I kind of
had a... Yeah, we give her honorary. Okay.
I had an issue with her. I don't know who my MVP is going to be. I guess...
Cyndaquil?
Yeah, Cyndaquil. Cyndaquil really tried. It did the best with the shit tools
it was Dugong. Given.
Yeah. I guess Cyndaquil. Cyndaquil was a real one. Pulled through in an impossible situation. All right, that's it.
Is that your quote?
Well, my quote was James's thing.
Okay.
So that's
all
it.
Right. That's all I got.
Icy Price saga concluded. What did y'all think?
This was the big awaited Icy Price moment we've been waiting for.
And I'm so upset because what I was remembering... The reason it was anticipated didn't even happen. I misremembered the quote, y'all.
All right, get ready for some fillers.
All right, what's next?
Whichever way the wind blows.
Whichever way the wind blows?
Mm-hmm.
Just around the river bend.
Not quite.
Should I marry Coco Wum?
Leave me alone. And then the second episode is a Marilyn Monroe movie.
Ooh.
Some Like It Hot.
It is not called that.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God, I love that. Is it about the Magmar guy? Did we get a Magmar guy backstory?
I know it's a Mag Cargo episode. That's all I know. I don't remember it at all. It's like a blank space in my brain. I have no idea.
Wait, which the way the wind blows? What is that?
Oh, that's Blossom versus Vileplume.
No, not another Blossom episode.
Where's Jumpluff's episode? That's my question.
Is there any other grass types in Johto, like, that we haven't seen? Like, what?
I think we've seen them all at this point. Who's left?
Is there any others?
We had a Sunkern. We had a Sunflora.
Johto grass types.
We've seen almost all the Johto Pokemon at this point.
Executor, Ivysaur, Tangela. Have we had a Tangela?
We've never had a Tangela episode. I think to this day, we've never had a Tangela episode.
What?
We've had a Tangrowth episode.
Okay, then where's our fucking Tangela episode, huh?
Justice for Tangela.
Justice for Tangela. Oh my god, even like a Parasect episode would have been better.
We already had a Parasect episode.
I like Parasect. What else? What other Pokemon do we have?
Celebi.
Oh god, we had a whole movie. Is there seriously not any other grass types? Because the list goes into like Treecko, so now we're in like Gen 3.
Johto only has 100 Pokemon.
Can't believe this. Okay, yeah, Tangela then would have made the perfect sense, but apparently not.
I'm pretty sure we've never had a Tangela episode. I'm pretty sure.
Can we look up Tangela real quick? Hold on.
People are like, oh my god, just end it. Put us out of our misery.
Not until we've solved the mystery of Tangela, you guys.
What if that was our episode title? The Mystery of Tangela. A Tangled Mystery.
A Tangled Mystery. People be like, what the fuck does that have to do with Icy Price? I need to know. I need to know. In the anime. Okay, main series. Okay, I'm on
Bulbapedia.
Tangela debuted in the episode Pokemon Sensation. Okay, so that was like the battle with Erica against Ash.
Okay, that's not a Tangela episode. That was a Gloom episode.
No. And then it says a second. Okay, that's it. Just had an appearance in Celadon Gym. Gulping It Down, Officer Jenny.
That's the one with the giant Kaiju Gulpin versus giant Treecko.
So there's never been a Tangela episode.
Apparently not.
Well, it does appear in The Power of One, apparently.
They all do, and there are Pokemon Stadium models in the background in The Power of One.
The Grassroot, Celebi, Voice of the Forest. Oh, Throwing in the Noctowl. It lived in Wings Alexander's barn. I completely missed that.
Yeah, these
that.
Are not Tangela episode. That wasn't even a Noctowl episode.
For Ho-Oh, The Bell Toll. That was the episode I missed.
You missed it. You missed Tangela's Time to Shine.
I did. What's a hurdle for Squirtle? When is that?
I think that's a Harley episode.
Oh, that's a Ruby and Sapphire. Okay. Yeah, so guys, we never had a proper Tangela episode.
I said that 5 minutes ago, but
okay. We completely solidified that. So instead, we get another fucking Bellossom episode.
Get ready.
Get ready.
In 7 short days.
I'm sorry to hate on this because usually I'm supposed to be the positive one, but I'm sorry, guys. I'm sick of Bellossom.
It's no, just... you say you're the positive one. You're full of bullshit. You're not the positive one. We don't have a positive one.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Damn.
I think I'm the positive one. I'm the Johto cheerleader at this point.
Yeah, it was the Zatu episode where you're like, guys, this is peak Johto. Trust me. It's hard to not feed off of each other's cynicism. We go in a vicious circle.
Let's feed off each other's positivity. I'm so fucking excited for whichever way the wind blows. Does it blow north? Does it blow east, south, west, northeast, southwest? I don't know. We'll find out. We'll Where find does out. The wind blow? Also, Marilyn Monroe's there.
Awesome. Speaking of, okay, we have...
Oh my god, I think I blew out my audio.
We'll find out which cardinal direction the wind's blowing in next week's episode, and also Marilyn Monroe will be there.
And McCargo.
And McCargo. Alright, guys, if you've still hung on this long and kept up with our fucking shenanigans...
Bless you.
Bless you. Hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening, of course, as always. And if you want to get in touch with us and tell us how absolutely insane we are, we welcome that. So you can always reach out to us on our Gmail account. That's outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can get in touch with us over on Twitter/X @outofdryingpan. Again, that's outofdryingpan. And of course, you can always check out our Instagram @outofthedryingpan. And if you want to listen to our bonus episode that we discussed and hear us talk about Thomas for 30 minutes straight, you can always do that by joining our Patreon. Subscribe to get access to all of sorts of bonus content. It's really cool. Check it out. And of course, we will see you next week. And we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Catch you next time as the journey continues.